As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we are celebrating this morning with Holy Mother Church the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, which is the end of the octave of Pentecost, which we celebrated last Sunday. And what I'd like to do this morning is to tie together two different dimensions of understanding this most fundamental and primordial mystery of our Catholic faith. It's held by all Christians in general, that there are three persons in one God whom we adore as sovereign over the entire universe. And I want to tie the abstract notions about the Trinity, because they can be to us very abstract, to some very practical implications for modern living. And there are things we will see in our time that are great challenges to understanding how the Trinity, in the abstract, invites us in very practical terms to be persons of communion. And I'll get into that in a second. In fact, a large prop I will use today in my homily is the very device that I'm using to record it. This is my iPhone 5C. Sorry, it's not as up-to-date as the 6 or whatever, the 7 or whatever. I mean, it seems like every other month there's a new one. So I just stick until Verizon tells me I have a new one waiting for me. So I want to tie the abstract to the very practical and real about how the Trinity invites us to live in a way that the modern age, in a way, perhaps unintentionally, distracts away from. Now, we have to be careful about when we speak about the Trinity. I remember very well, this entire little catechesis I'm going to give you isn't even 1/100th of a catechesis or a synthesis of the course in the seminary that we teach on the Trinity. There's actually one semester course called Trinity. There's also one in Christology, which is the study of our Lord. So I'm going to digest in very, very simple terms one semester's work of graduate work into just 3 minutes. And you have to be very careful, because the more you speak about the Trinity, the closer you are getting to speaking heresy. And why do I say that? We can only understand the Trinity by analogy. We're saying that God is three persons, not three personalities or three modes. Sometimes I hear this used as an analogy for the Trinity, and it's dangerous. This flame right here has the flame itself, heat, and light. That even falls short of the Trinity. Take an ice cube. Frozen, vapor emitting from it if it's warm enough, and melting into water. Again, those things, as helpful as they may be in some dimensions of understanding the Trinity, still don't get at it. Each member of the Trinity shares the same divine nature. Now, remember, I'm not talking about three personalities that God has. He's tripolar. Okay, I'm not saying that. That's not what we're teaching here. Okay, it's a very difficult concept to understand. This is the primordial community that has no beginning or no end. It's always existed. They've always been there. Anytime you talk about one person of the Trinity, you must, by default, be talking about the other two, even though we have something called the doctrine of appropriation. We appropriate creation to the Father, redemption to the Son, and sanctification to the Holy Spirit. When you adore Jesus in the Eucharist, the Father and the Holy Spirit are there. And we don't think about them per se, but they are there, because the Trinity is inseparable. Okay, I'm going to stop there, because now I'm on the verge of getting into real, real heresy. Okay, I don't want to be quoted on the iPhone on my recording. I'll be very careful what I say. But I want to get to this one idea then about the Trinity as a primordial community of persons, a communio. We call this in Latin communio personarum, a communion of persons. This has very real implications for us today. Think about it. Saturday morning errands in the United States, in most places in the United States now. You can leave your house and you can do pay at the pump to fill up your car. Just a credit card or a debit card. Okay. Then you go to Home Depot or to the grocery store, and what can you do? Self-checkout. You need cash for tonight, so you go to the bank. What can you do? ATM. Now, we'll all agree that all three of these conveniences are wonderful, aren't they? But remember how you had to used to do that? You actually had to actually engage another person? Okay. Today, it drives me nuts when I see children with their iPhone or their iPod in the car driving along with headphones in their ears. Families have precious little time together. And the little time they have together, people are in their own separate worlds. I might give you a pass with the parents with a DVD in the back to keep the kids from crying, because they can't talk anyway. But the children who are of age to communicate with the parents, when I moved to each of my parishes in Virginia, I took over the altar boy program. I noticed in each of them what was lacking in all the young men: manners. First thing they learn, they come in the sacristy. Before they do a thing, they peek their head into where the priest is and say, "Good morning, Father." You notice how absent manners are in civil society today? Civility isn't even the norm anymore. People speak in public using profanity as part of their regular common parlance. They have no regard for other persons. They have no regard for the fact that two young men are speaking with all kinds of profane words coming out of their mouth in a fast food restaurant next to a family. And a young father and a mother are trying to protect the ears of their kids. They are a captive audience to all that is being said. There's this lack of communion and community. Now, the irony, of course, with things like the iPhone is that you have something like this called FaceTime, Skype. You can actually commune with people, but it's all artificial, isn't it? I remember very well in the days in my business career and being in management consulting, we would never use Skype in my business. We get on a plane, we go halfway across the country, and we talk to the client face to face. He wants to see that I'm there doing my work and that I'm on top of his project and delivering value to his business. Period. I can't just say, you know, from Washington, "Oh yeah, good luck with your project in Juneau. We'll get out there at some point." Uh-uh. They're not paying us what they're paying us just to be thousands of miles away. We need to be. Think about this. Think about your spouse. Would you settle for a cutout of them? Maybe some days. But normatively, no. I mean, we are made for communion. We are made for one another. When you go today to any retail store, where is customer service? Everyone's on their iPhone. At the airport, just the other day, flying back from a retreat in Seattle, all these people having dinner together or having breakfast together, I don't know what time of day I was flying, and everyone's on their phone. No one's actually, I mean, they're all sitting at the same table, but they're all in different worlds. So this is a wonderful device. This gives me access to the rest of the world in an instant. It's dangerous, though, because it gives me access to all kinds of worlds that we should not be looking at. But it's all there. And it's wonderful to have that kind of access to information. It has a lot of benefits. But it's creating, this is the new face. This is the new face. And what's dangerous about it? If I don't like the face, swipe. Double hit the home button, gone. In real communion, you have to deal with people even if you don't like them. In the Trinity, there is no infighting. There is no division. There is no finger pointing. There is no selfishness. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father continuously, always. That love is so intense, it breathes forth. We call this in theology spirates, where we get the word aspirates, breathes forth. A third person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who we celebrated last Sunday at Pentecost, is the person of love between the Father and the Son. So you see, for all the great technological advances, and again, I'm not against technological advances, please don't get me wrong. This is not a litany against technology. This is not what it's about. But it has to be kept in its proper perspective, because intentionally or unintentionally, it does have the tendency to make us look inward, or to become narcissists, or to become insular at the very least, without any regard for people around us. People say that they form communities now online by blogging. Those are not real communities, because they are somewhat artificial. Real communities mean you stick in the group, even if being in the group is hard. You notice how the community, the Trinities are flying off in the three different directions? They're always together. So in a world of disposability, the Trinity teaches us permanence. In a world where we can just move on to the next thing, the Trinity says, no, stick together. In a fractured world, full of selfishness, division, and individuality, the Trinity teaches us, no, together. We make this journey together, not separately. And we have to be very mindful that the real sanctification in our lives means remaining in communities, especially the ones that are hard. Our families, our parishes, our seminary. There are all challenges. Think of the person amongst your friends who's the hardest to love. Your friend who is your walking hair shirt, who's your fourth or fifth sorrowful mystery, carrying that cross or the crucifixion. Now, again, you could just dismiss them. Say, I don't got time for that. I don't like them. Okay, no. The Trinity says, no, engage them. Be in communion with them, as difficult as it may be. This is the great challenge of our age. So, lest we look at the Trinity as something entirely abstract, think about your life. Think about how you interact with people. If you're tempted to leave the voicemail when you know someone's not at their desk, try calling them when they're there, because you actually might have to talk to them. We do this so often. Oh, I know they're in a meeting. I'll leave them a voicemail. Don't text your mom. Talk to her. Simple things. Just simple things. I mean, I'm not talking about huge theological enterprises. These are the simple things that keep us engaged. And the Lord invites us into the life of the Trinity at baptism. He sustains us through it in the Eucharist. He asks us to be not only in communion with Him, but with one another. It is very difficult to be in communion with Him if we don't have communion with one another. It's, by the way, why you're here right now. We're not all sitting in our individual living rooms listening to Palestrina or whatever beautiful sacred music you like, having a little word service. Guess what? Holy Mother Church says, come home on Sundays, check in. We want to see you. We want to see each other. Maybe many of you would not be associated with one another except for church. We're in solidarity with God, true, but we're also in solidarity with one another. That's why this is obligatory. Gotta be here. Okay? It's all about communion. It's all about community. Think about that as you go about your day. Where is communion being formed? Where is it not? And what is the Lord Jesus, the Father and the Son, asking me to do to bridge those gaps where bridges have been broken and burnt, but can be rebuilt again by His grace?